Well, it's Christmas time, saints. It's Christmas time. To some, it doesn't feel like Christmas time. Just for some reason, you know, every now and then it doesn't feel like Christmas time. But I guess every day is Christmas to the Christian. Amen? Amen. We don't have to wait for a certain season to come because we rejoice in a person, not in things. Amen. You remember that sermon title called It's About Presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, not presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. It's about presence. That's where the Christian lives, is the presence of God. And so our eyes are not on things, and so we don't have to wait for a season because we have the person living within us, and we give God thanks for that. And so as I was praying about what to share today, because I've left my sermon series in the book of Colossians because of the Christmas season that we're in, and I guess I'm consumed with this, with the God's character and the characteristics of his person that make him so special. And what this book is all about, because from cover to cover, this book is about a person.
Yes, indeed.
It's about a person.
Yes, sir.
Now, the books all talk about a series of events, but all of those events are about a person.
Yes, sir.
John started the last book of the Bible. He said, the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Right.
He was saying, this, what I'm about to share with you, is the revelation or the disclosing or the manifesting or the uncovering of who Jesus Christ is. And he was talking about a person. Now, he talked about a lot of events that happened. He said, this is going to happen, earthquakes, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. But he called it the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's about a person. And so when it comes to Christianity, when it comes to you and I, God saved us and called us to himself. And it's all about his person. It's all about his person. And to make it even more plain, when we all were born again, he didn't give us a thing. He gave us a person. Jesus said, I am going away, but I will not leave you as orphans. I will send you a comforter. He said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He didn't give us a thing. He gave us a person. That, what does that teach us? That teaches us to value the relationships I have in my life. Because greater than anything I will ever have is the people that I have. It's the people that I have in my life are greater than anything I could ever possess. Okay? And so God made it very clear that when he saved us, that he saved us for relationship. He saved us for fellowship. And he gave to us himself. Right? And so, as I come to, you know, every Christmas, you know, it's interesting that you can be preaching for 60 years and the Christmas theme never changes. It's always about the same thing. But there's in 100,000 years, you could not exhaust all the revelation that is in just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about the coming of Jesus. So, I want to share, well, of course, you know me, I want to share a whole bunch of scriptures because I believe in sharing. I believe in reading the Word of God. Amen. Matter of fact, just real quick, I think I got a moment. It's 2:52. I was reading, I'm reading through the book of 1 Samuel right now. And, you know, we're all human. And when you read through the Bible and you're used to reading through the Bible, you come upon a passage that you know real well. At least that you, thank you. You think you know it real well. And so I'm coming up on 1 Samuel 17 the other day. And I know 1 Samuel 17 is all about David and Goliath. It's where David slays Goliath. And as I was coming up on it, you know, I felt something in my flesh. I didn't say anything, but I felt my flesh kind of squirming like, man, I know this. I've read this. I can, you know, and it was like my flesh was kind of like, being uncomfortable with it, I gotta read it again. Now, in my mind, I knew that was wrong, but it was just something I was feeling in my flesh. And I kind of felt bad that I was feeling it, but nonetheless, I was feeling it. And so, but anyhow, I was doing my quote-unquote duty, which it isn't. It isn't a duty, right? It's a privilege, okay? And so I started reading through 1 Samuel 17. And don't you know? Oh! I can't preach that today. I'll preach that another day. But I sat there and said, what? I said, okay. Thank you, Father. Look, let me just, all of that. And all of that, flesh in, I know it. And I get there and it's like, spread a table. And I'm sitting there eating myself, so full. So let me, that's why I believe in reading the Word of God, because there's always something there for you. Let me read Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother, Mary, was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to put the title of the message and the emphasis that I would like to put on this one word in this verse of scripture is the word before. That's the title of the message. Simple. Just before. Because in that word lies all of the, if you take that word out of the verse is, it's totally different. And I emphasize it and I point our attention to it because God, Colossians, I'll share in a second. Colossians says this. He is before all things. Talking about Christ, talking about God. He is before all things. And in him, all things consist. And so scientists tell us, astrophysicists tell us that space-time, when they say space-time, this is space. And time simply means it's been here for a certain amount of time. They tell us that it had a starting point. And but the scripture says he is before all things, which means he's before the starting point of all of this. The Bible says God is spirit, which obviously then means spirit is not protons, neutrons, electrons. And since we graduated, I don't know about the rest of you, but since I graduated high school, they've broken all of those down. They've got quarks and all these other names of these little things that are smaller than electrons, protons, and neutrons that you can't see, but they're smaller than that. Well, he's not any of that either, because all of that was created when he said, let there be, okay, right? He's outside of all of that. God is not a thing, and he's not made up of what we're made up of. Jesus is, he took on flesh. But before that, his pre-incarnate, before he took on flesh, He was before all of those things. And so in this scripture, before they came together, Mary was pregnant with a child of the Holy Spirit. That is the only time, and it was the first and the last time that has ever occurred, where a woman got pregnant by a child of the Holy Spirit. So we know what the word before means, earlier in time, although he's outside of time, in front of, previous to in time, earlier than, awaiting, into or the presence of, under the consideration or jurisdiction, in a position superior to, in advance of the time when. That word before. Let me read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17 says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He, Christ indeed, was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Christ was foreordained to die for you and I before God even created the world. Such a beautiful statement that Peter makes. Before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Why was Christ foreordained before the foundation of the world? Why? Before man made his choice in the garden, and this is something that's really, I'll have to preach on this. I've done it before, but, you know, as God, you know, God is teaching you things whether you know it or not. Okay? Just to let you know. He's teaching you things. You can read it in Ephesians chapter 4 talks about it. Paul talks about it in other epistles, but he's teaching you things. Now, one of the things he's teaching me, one of the things I keep seeing is I see his will, I see man's will, and I see the will of the enemy. And I'm seeing how he exalts his will, because his will is the one that really matters. Hello. Without his will, we're all doomed and damned and condemned. Okay? Right? And so it's his will. So I'm seeing all of this, and I said that to say this. Before man made his choice in the garden, and God made all of us with a free will, we can all choose. Before Christ and after Christ. But it was his will that we know him. It was his will that we choose right. But man, Adam and Eve didn't. And we being sons of Adam and daughters of Eve, we didn't choose right either. Hello. But before we made our choice, God made his. Why? Because he's always first. He's always before. See, I said, before we made our decision, before we made our choice, God made his. Before Adam and Eve fell in the garden, God foreordained that his son would die for those whom he hadn't even created yet. He's before. He's before. So God knew that man would fall, and in his love for man, he provided the means for redemption. Remember what Jesus told the Jews in the book of John, when they were talking about the temple, and Jesus said, you destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. They said, this year was 50 years in building. Are you older than our father Abraham? And he said, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham, the father of it all for the Jews. Come on. He's the father of the three main religions of the world. Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. Abraham is the father of them all. And Jesus said, before he was, I am. He said, before Abraham, who was standing in time, I am outside of time. I produced him. I'm greater than him, right? And so, before Abraham was, I am. God is before all things. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere because we're going to come down to a practical application to this thing. Because I see it in my life. I see it in my life. And every time I see it, that same question comes to me. Do you trust me? That same question, that lovely question that's calling me to deeper faith and trust in my Lord. Because Proverbs 3 and 5. Tells us to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Amen. You know, we quote it and run on, lean out of your own understanding, always acknowledge him, da, da, da. And we, you know, we quote it like we can quote the scripture and everything. But then the trial comes. And now you have to not quote it. Every day you have to walk in that thing. Every time you lift a leg, it's trust in the Lord. You find yourself living a thing. You say, God deliver me from this thing. No, the scripture said trust in the Lord. You see, and you have to keep trusting and keep trusting and keep trusting. And the longer you walk, the lighter your feet become. Hey, the longer you walk, because you're learning to trust in Jesus. You're learning to walk with him, and he teaches you these things. Not by just speaking it, but by causing you to live it. 2 Timothy chapter 1 says, God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Hello. This is the God we serve. This is my Father and your Father. Right? The scripture says that he has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So this is what happened before time began. His purpose and his grace was given to you. That sin that you and I commit before time began, God determined that Christ has already died for it. God has already provided himself the propitiation, the atonement. All that we are to be in Christ was determined before anything was created. So that's why when we mess up, we can't go to God. Oh, God, pretty please, I promise not to do it again. I promise. As if that's going to cause him to have mercy on you because you promised you're never going to do it again. No. Sorry. No. He determined that before anything was created, that Christ would die and redeem you from your sin. Hello. But it's now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Jeremiah 1:5, you know the scripture where God said to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before, what does that say? God knows every unformed child. He knows every one of them. He knows things like we don't, like when does a child get a spirit? Hello. When do they get a spirit? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you and I adorned you, ordained rather you a prophet to the nations. Colossians 1:17, the Lord says, Paul says, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Or all things have their being in him. Listen, he is before our yesterdays. He's before our today. And he's before our tomorrows. He's before our yesterdays. He's before our todays. And he's before our tomorrows. Matter of fact, if you stand in your life now and look back, you can begin to see where, yeah, I saw that was God back there doing this so that I would be here. You could see that he was before you. Now, I was talking to Daniel, was testifying the other day. Mm-hmm. And he said, God put some men in my life before I even got to the point where I needed them. Hello. Oh, yeah, God does that. It's like the Bible's full of it. We're about to go there. But he was testifying. Why? Because he looked back and he could see how God put those people in his life so that when he came to the point of that need, they were right there to fill it. That's our God. He's before our yesterdays. He's before our today. Listen, before you and I got up this morning, he who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. Hey, I said, before we got up this morning, he was already standing in our today and we are walking toward him. And so the question is, what am I upset? What do I have to worry about today? He's standing in the midst of my days. He's standing in the midst of my years. He's standing in my tomorrow. If I could only look out at my tomorrows and not see the things to be all concerned and fearful and shaky about, but if I could see him, yes, If I could see him, it would change everything. But he's there. He's before us. I love this picture that I had in my mind not too long ago when God made Adam. Remember how the Bible says it. Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says that God made the man out of the dust of the earth. And here now Adam's lying there. And he's not alive yet. And God, the Bible says, breathed into his nostrils. Whether he's lying or he's standing up, doesn't matter. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Now think about it. When Adam opened up his eyes, who was before him? If I just breathed in your face and you open up your eyes, and believe me, if I breathe in your face, you're going to open up your eyes. I don't want to lose you. Don't. Let's stay in the spirit now. No. So he breathed and here Adam. And who was before him? Remember, he did Eve the same way. He made the woman and brought her to the man. Okay, now watch this. Every day you and I lie down, and there's no guarantee, absolutely none, not one. Now, we take it for granted. Why? Because it's happened so many times that we just figure it's going to happen tomorrow. But there's no place. I was talking to a sister the other day. I was talking to her, Pamela, there ain't no place in the Bible where the Christian is promised tomorrow. And so I'm over your house enjoying you today. With full knowledge of what I'm doing. You understand? Full knowledge. I'm purposeful. I know exactly what's going on. I'm enjoying my twin sister. And I thank God every day I have you because this whole thing's about relationship. This whole thing. Relationship with God and relationship with one another. That's what it's about. It's not about cars and houses and money and gold. And it ain't about that. It's about relationship. Hello. Where was I? Oh, here, yeah. And so when God made Adam and Eve, we wake up each day by the grace of God. As if it were each day, he came and leaned over us while we were sleeping and said, come on, get up. And if he didn't wake us, we wouldn't wake up. 25-year-old, my cousin had a 25-year-old son, athlete, football player. He knows professional football players, professional pictures on Facebook, him with NBA, professional NBA, Grant Hill, other guys. He's a minister, ordained minister, 25 years old, went to sleep one night, and he just didn't wake up the next morning. He just was gone. It's just the way it was. So every day, God goes before us, because if he didn't, we would not go. Hello? We would not go. Exodus chapter 13. After God delivered the children out of Egypt, and now they're starting their journey, the scripture says in Exodus 13:21, and the Lord went before them. Man, I love it when I read that. Because Israel is the church in the wilderness, according to Acts chapter 7. That's what Stephen called it, the church in the wilderness. And so that's you and I when you read that, okay? Symbolically, right? And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way. Can you see the cloud in your life? He's before you. He's going before you to lead the way. And by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. So as to go by day and by night. Why did God not take the pillar from before the people? Well, real simple, because man needs to be led by God, period. I mean, man needs God so very desperately. And he kept that pillar of fire and cloud up in that sky for 40 years. For 40 years. Why? To lead them. They were to follow the cloud. And so he made sure that he was out before them so that they could always know which way to go. Deuteronomy 1:29 reads, "Then I said to you," Moses recounting what happened in the Exodus and the journey through the wilderness, "do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you." He will fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt. You see that happening over in the New Testament. Remember when Paul got saved, he preached in Jerusalem. Got everybody mad at him. Then they let him down over a wall in a basket. He ran off. And years later, he came back after he had preached, turned the world upside down with their preaching. And he comes back. And the Jews, all the prophets were prophesying, saying, "They're going to get you in Jerusalem, Paul." Paul said, "I'm going anyhow." And he goes and they find him in the temple, and they've been beating him. They're trying to beat him to death, literally. And the Roman centurion runs down with his men, and they deliver Paul. And the Sanhedrin said, we want to question him more privately. Would you bring him down to Jerusalem? Because they had rushed him off to Caesarea. And they said, "Bring him back down here, and we want to inquire of him more perfectly." And but see, 40 men had bound themselves with a curse, saying, "We shall not eat or drink anything until we kill Paul." So when you have him brought back down, we're going to be waiting. We're going to ambush him. We're going to kill him. But see, the same God who went before the Israelites in the Old Testament, and who would deliver them from their enemies, because it said right here, "Do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you." The same God got a hold of Paul's nephew, who overheard the men binding themselves with a curse. And he went in and told the centurion, and they saved Paul's life by not bringing him back down to Jerusalem. Why? Because God went before him and was fighting his battles, so that the gospel might have free course and go where God intended it to go. What am I trying to say? I'm saying it over and over again, so because I'm praying that the word will get in you that God has gone before you. He's gone before you. I keep getting this in my spirit. That's it. Where I'm headed, he already is. Oh, my God. Oh my. So listen. Because when this becomes our reality, then there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. Okay? I'm like, okay, God, well, if you already, you ordered this thing, yes, son, I've ordered it all. Okay, well then, there's nothing to be afraid of. That's right. That's right. And so that's why Jesus, when the Jews come upon him, Jesus said, "It's not my time yet. Can't touch me." And he would just walk on through the crowd. It's not his time. Because he knew what God had prepared for him. Deuteronomy 9, "Therefore understand that today the Lord your God is he who goes over before you as a consuming fire." When's the last time you seen God going before you as a consuming fire? Hello. "He will destroy them and bring them down before you." Just all of these before you, it just keeps going on. "Do not think in your heart after the Lord has cast them out before you, saying, because of my righteousness, the Lord has brought me in to possess the land. But it's because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is driving them out from before you." Joshua 24 and verse 12 reads, "I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you. Also the two kings of the Amorites, but not with your sword or your bow." So God told them it wasn't your great fighting abilities that drove them out from before you. It was me. Why is that in the Bible? So we get it straight. So we just get it straight and get it straight early. The reason why I've had success, the reason why that I'm still here today, the reason why I possess the land that I do, is because God drove my enemies out from before me. Wasn't my great skill, wasn't my great ability, because I trip over everything. Hello. Come on. How is he before us with regard to our lives, though? I just want to bring this a little bit closer. How is he before us with regard to our lives? We'll see it from the scriptures. The first is with conflict, and I guess I've already covered that a bit, but we all have conflict in our lives. Amen. And I hear it quite a bit, because people around me. You know, you go to work and there's conflict. You go home, there's conflict. You go out in the marketplace, there's conflict. Judges chapter 4, you remember the story of Deborah, the prophetess, and Barak, this one judge that God was going to use, or Deborah was really the judge, but Barak was this young general. And came time to fight the battle in verse 14 of Judges 4. Deborah said to Barak, "Up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone before you?" is what she says. Wow. Has not the Lord gone before you? Let me ask you something. If you are in a battle and you're in a conflict right now and you knew that the Lord has gone out before you, would you be afraid of the battle? Would you be afraid of it? Oh, no. You'd be stout-chested running to the battlefront. Oh, man, I can't wait to get in this one because, hey, he done gone before me. I can't lose. Hello? Can't lose. But Deborah said to Barak, "Get up. Don't be down." Sometimes we can be down about the conflicts. She says, "Up. Get up. Pick yourself up. It's time to fight." And we get all down and be beaten down and everything. The Lord says, "No, lift up your head because I've gone out before you." And we need to know that he has. When we walk with the Lord, he's always first to the battle. He oftentimes, he at the battle and he's calling us. "Where you at now? Come on out here. Come on out here." Remember Gideon in Judges 6? Gideon threshing wheat in the wine press, trying to hide it from the Midianites. And God shows up, the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate of appearance of Christ. He shows up, says, "Hey, you mighty man of valor." He's trying to get Gideon to the battle. He says, "Hey, you're a mighty man of valor. You're going to crush the Midianites." "Who, me? I ain't nobody." "That's right. I'm the one who's somebody, but I'm going to help you. I'm going to cause you, but you're going to have to go fight. You have to go fight." But he's the first one to the battle. When we face the enemy in battle, we need to know and understand that the Lord goes out before us in battle even before we've assembled for the fight. Even before we've assembled for the fight. Second, so that was conflict. Second, guidance and assurance. Guidance and assurance. Genesis 26, verse 6 and 7. Where my young lady, single ladies at, single young men? We got some. Oh, yeah. Okay. So here we go. So Abraham needs a wife for his son. Ah, somebody needs some guidance. Can I go there? Oh, yes. And so Abraham, the scripture says in Genesis 24, Abraham gets his servant and he says, "Listen, you need to go back to my family and to my father's house, and you need to get a wife for my son. But don't let him marry these Canaanites." And he said, "Well, how shall I know that, how's this going to happen?" And Abraham, full of faith, says, "The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house, from the land of my family, who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, 'To your descendants I give this land,' he will send his angel before you." Glory. Now, I know every man, I know every young lady wish it was like that today. Man, the angel's going before me, going to line them up. All I got to do is trust. Well, actually, that's the way it is. Actually, I think I got a witness over here. I said, actually, that's the way it is. If you'll believe God, if you'll trust God. Now, you think you got to go out there and work yourself to death, sweating, spitting, fighting, and carrying on to track down and hunt down this man or this woman? Well, then you can wear yourself out. But no, God has gone. Is that what the scripture says? He said, "He will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son." Watch this. This is God part and your part. "He will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son." Has God gone before you? Oh, yes, he has. I know he went before me. Lord Jesus. He went before me. Huh? He went before Jessica. He went before the Mads. Went before the Mingo. Went before the Reeds. Went before the Crawfords. He's the same God. He's going before Daniel. Amen. Already done. He's going before you. Where Jamie at? Tell Jamie. I said he's going before. He's going before. She need to be here. Abraham believed that since God had sent him to Canaan, that he would guide him in all of his needs in Canaan, even to the needs of his son's wife. Abraham believed that God's angel was ahead of him, out in front of him and before him. He promised his servant the presence of the Lord's angel would lead him. And so where, you've heard the saying, where God guides, he provides. Where God guides, he provides. Where has the Lord sent you? The Lord knows what we need, does he not? Yes, he does. Do we believe God has gone before us? I challenge us now. Well, that's under provision, but I can do it now too. That wherever we see a need, when we're, you know, just, you're just everyday living, and something occurs, something pops up, and it's something you don't have the answer for, something you don't have the resources for. But know this, that God has gone before you. He knows what you need. That's what provide means. The word provide is two words, pro and vide, or it comes from provision, though the word provision means to see before. To see before. Provision. And that's what God does when he provides for us. He sees before that we have a need and he makes provision for it. So that every time we come to an obstacle, we need to then still ourselves and know, okay, Lord, you knew this before I knew it. And I thank you that you have the answer for me right now. I love praying in the morning when I pray for my customers. Before I go clean carpet, I pray in the morning. I say, Father, I know you know everybody I'm going to meet today. You know their circumstance. You know their need. Father, I pray. I thank you that you've gone before me. Now, Lord, help me to do right by you. When I get to that place, help me to do right by you. Help me to be who I need to be in that person's life and just go off and to the praise of, and get up in people's houses and be having a time. Come home, tell my wife all the times we had. Because God knows. And he's there every day in our life. What I'm saying is, this is not something that's just in the Bible. Oh, that's great. He was before them. No, church. He's before you. He's before you. Hello. Every day. Titus 1, Paul says that according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth with the court, which accords to godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Paul is speaking of those who were God's elect and whose hope of eternal life, which God promised them before time began. Abraham's servant was believing God for a bride for his son. Paul says that God has gone before us to make us the bride for his son. He's promised his son a bride, and we're it. I said, we're it. We are the bride of Christ. And that's a promise that he made before time began. Son, I want you to die. You have to give up your life. But in giving your life, I'm going to give you a bride. I'm going to give you a bride. And it's going to be a bride. It's not going to be one of these arranged marriages the way you hear about that woman in Iran. They tried to arrange her marriage. She poisoned 17 people, killed them all. She poisoned, killed 17 people trying to get out of her arranged marriage. Unless she was working on her groom. She was working on the guy she was going to marry. He got sick. And that's how they found out. She was putting poison in the milk. Because she didn't want it. You understand? I said, he's giving his son a bride. And everyone's going to want to be there. Everyone's going to want to be there. Hello? Everyone. All right. Salvation, Genesis 45 and 5, almost done. Salvation, Genesis 45 and 5, listen to this. But now, this is Joseph talking to his brothers. Jacob has died and gone on. His brothers are scared. And he says, but now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. God sent me before you to preserve life. Now, this is a sermon all by itself. I'm going to go into a little bit, but can you see that God, as I was saying, alluding to earlier, Daniel said God sent some men and put them in position so that when he got there, their life ministered to his life. God does that all the time. Not only are we on the receiving end of it, God has sent some of you so that you could be in a place like Joseph to save somebody's life. You've spoken into somebody's life and they'll be changed. You may never even know it, but they'll be changed because God sent you before someone. Hello. God sent me before you. I always like to say that God sends all of his people somewhere. It's just that we don't like the vehicle he chooses to send us in. We want a Tesla. And he bringing us in a Yugo. At least, it see, maybe y'all too old to know the Yugo. A Pinto? You're too young for that. Okay, so I don't know what to use. We don't like the vehicle. You know, Joseph's vehicle was... they were jealous of him. They tried to kill him. They said, no, let's not kill him. They sold him into slavery. And then Potiphar's wife lied on him. Then the butler forgot him. But all of that got Joseph to where he needed to be. All of that was God's vehicle to get Joseph before them. God's moving his people so that we can be in a place to preserve life. But if you think that this life is all about you, and now remember Joseph thought that. Remember he come with the coat of many colors? I done had a dream. Then he come, I done had another dream. You boys bowing down to me. Oh, it's all about me. Okay. No. If you think it's all about you, well, first of all, God's going to show you it's not about you. It's not about you. It's all about what I'm doing. And that's why, and Joseph, through all of what he went through at the tail end of it, and this is why I say, young people, you got a lot to learn, but just embrace life and grow and know that you have a lot to learn. Because I know so much more at 53 than I ever knew at 23, even though I was saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. I thought I knew a lot. God said, no, boy, you don't know anything. Hang on. I'm going to show you some things, though. Joseph didn't know anything, but at the end, when this happened, he said he could see that God sent him before them. Can you see where God has sent you yet? Can you see where he's sent you? Okay, well, hang on. You will, just like Joseph did. God sent me before you to preserve life. We believe God's doing that in our lives right now, and in doing so, we follow in the steps of his son, our Savior. Two verses later, Joseph said again, and God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. By a great deliverance. I love telling my children. I told them when they were young, and I pray every child learns it. Even if you're 50-something, that you learn it, that God sent your parents before you. That's a very natural flow. Very natural flow. But God sent your parents before you to preserve life. Hello? To preserve life. It seems that when you get my age, oh, man, you're so thankful for your parents. You say, were they perfect? No. Ain't got nothing to do with perfect. It has everything to do with God sent them before me. So, it's everything to do with God sent them before me. And you love them and you just, oh my goodness. And you look forward to seeing them again and rejoicing with them. Amen? Amen. Where am I? Let me get to the last one. Is that the last one? Yeah. Get to the last one. Provision. And this is one, do I even have to go here? Because we have, probably in America, we have more sermons preached on provision because we're so thing-minded. We're, you know, we're stuff, even though the Bible says to not run after riches and so forth, but it still goes on. But the Lord has, the Lord led the people of Israel all through the wilderness. You know, when you, they wandered 40 years in the wilderness, but God never wastes anything in our lives. And so when they wouldn't go into the promised land, when he said, go, he said, okay, then turn around and go back. He said, when they wouldn't go to the promised land in Numbers 14, he said, turn around and take your journey back, because for every spy, 40 spies were sent. For every spy, it's going to be a year you're going to spend in the wilderness. Turn around and go back and take your journey into the wilderness. But you know what? Even in that judgment that God brought upon them, he did not waste the time that they were in the wilderness teaching the people. Exodus chapter 17. And this is before that time, though. In Exodus chapter 17, the scripture reads in verse 5, and the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take some of the elders of Israel. This is the account where God led them to a place and the pillar of cloud was there, and the fire by day, fire by night, pillar of cloud by day and all that. And they come to a place and there's no water to drink. One of the very things that you have to have in order to survive, not only in life, but they're in the desert. And so the people are complaining to Moses, and God says, go on before the people, take some of the leaders, also take the rod, take in your hand the rod with which you struck the river, and go. Watch this. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock. I will stand before you there on the rock. Exodus 17, verse 5, 6, and 7. And many things just strike me here. Number one, God took them to a place where there was no water. Why? So that he could test you. Why do sometimes in life we come to a place where we don't have everything we need? Why does that happen? I'll tell you one of the reasons why it happened to the church in the wilderness. Because God wanted to see, are you going to complain against me or are you going to trust me? Remember I told you earlier that voice keeps saying, do you trust me? Wherever I am and I come up and I hit a wall, I hear the Holy Spirit on the inside saying, do you trust me? What's he saying? Do you know that I'm here and I have already encountered this? I've already provided for you. If you'll just look to me, if you'll just turn to me, if you'll just trust me, I'll bring you through this. That's what he's saying. He said, do you trust me? But make no mistake about it. We still have a will. And I have to make a decision. And complaining is a decision. Complaining is just like worship and praise and adoration is a decision. And so the people come to the water and Moses says, man, these people are almost ready to stone me, Lord. What am I supposed to do with these people? And he says, go on and stand up on the rock and I'm going to be standing before you. Now, here's a reason to pray for leaders. And not only to pray for them, but here's something else to see about it. And with regard to Moses and the children of Israel, God was standing before Moses. That's why to reject Moses was to reject God. Now watch this. God's authority stands before every leader. That's why we're to obey authority. Pray for our leaders, because God was standing before Moses. Not only that, but Moses is going to be held accountable for what God tells him to do. It's another reason why we need to pray for leaders. They're leaders today, state, federal, local, every level. They're going to have to give account to God for what they say and for what they do. But Paul said in Romans 13, all authority is of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. The office is ordained of God. And so we need to pray for them because they need our prayers that they would do the right thing. So let me go back. He says, behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock and water will come out of it that the people may drink. It's interesting to me that with regard to provision, and as was the case here, they need water. God takes them to a rock. Wait, do you see anything a little odd with that picture? Can I tell you something about provision? When God provides for you, he's not going to do it the way you think he's going to do it. That's what you learn from that story. At least that's one of the lessons you get from that story. See, because we're like, God, because we oftentimes want to help God. Lord, I want to get married. So you run over here. I'm going to go over here where all these people are. That's how it happens, ain't it? No. It can happen that way. But if you're going to rely on God, if you're going to trust God to do it, probably ain't going to happen that way. Why? Because when they needed water, he took them to a rock. And they can't no human get water out of a rock. But if he's standing before you, he says, I'm going to be standing before you, Moses, because otherwise, what's the point of going up on the rock? But he says, I'm going to stand before you. And when you strike the rock, water comes out of the rock. Okay? And so, what area of provision do we have in our life right now that we are possibly complaining about? All the while, he's standing before us, ready to make provision. Hello? Ready to make provision. No, so we don't complain. We give thanks and say, Father, I don't see how. I don't know how. And it's not up to me to know, because he told me one day, he said, son, when you pray and ask me, he says, don't try and figure me out, because I'm not coming the way you think I'm coming. Because my thoughts are not your thoughts. For as high as the heaven is above the earth, so are my thoughts higher than yours, and my ways are higher than your ways. So he said, don't try and figure me out. So I've been dispensed with that. I've been said, okay, that's it. Doesn't matter. I just pray and trust and leave it alone. I said, Lord, I'm just going to trust you. Can't get this little beady mind around his great ways. So when the Lord tells you to do something, he goes before you in the doing of it. Remember, he said, Moses, go up on the rock. And what he said to Moses, because I'm going to be standing there before you, which means, Moses, I'm there before you even get there. Hello. So what's God doing? He's waiting on you. Moses, go stand up on the rock. Hear God up on the rock. Come on, Moses. Get up on the rock. Oftentimes, God's wanting to provide. And who's he waiting on? He's waiting on us. He's waiting on us. He's never late. Remember when God told, in Genesis 22, God told Moses, take your son, your only son whom you love, up on the Mount Moriah and offer him as a burnt sacrifice to me. And here's Isaac holding the wood and the fire and all, and Abraham's carrying what he's carrying, and Abraham's leading Isaac up on this hill, but God's leading Abraham. See, leaders are really followers. Leaders must be followers. If you following a leader who isn't following God, don't follow him. Break it off. Break it off, and break it off quick. Yes, indeed. Remember Peter and his disciples fishing after Jesus' resurrection. Peter says, I go fishing. They said, we're coming with you. And they go fishing and everything, and they didn't catch anything. And then Jesus shows up and says, throw the net on the other side. They catch this huge haul of fish. They pull it up on the ground when they run up on the beach. Here Jesus now got fish cooking on the coals. Look, what they were trying to get out there, they're going fishing because they're hungry. You need to get something to eat. Now out there is fishing and everything, and after Jesus gives them a miracle catch, they come up on, and he had already had it prepared. It is right here. Come on, sit down and have something to eat. Let's talk. He's gone before us. Before they even got out there, Jesus was probably on the shore cooking stuff, relaxing, just waiting for them to get done so they can come on in and see, oh, he already had it prepared. Wish I'd have known that. And so he is before all of our days. He's before all of our weeks, our months, our years. He's before our next breath. He's before our next breath. Yeah. So sometime I think I got you heard of atrial fibrillation? When your heart race every now and again? Hey. One day I was out working. Something went broop like that. I went, oh, glory. I thought to myself, I thought, Father, look here. Look here. I thought to myself, I took insurance is paid. No. See, now listen. Are we living in the real world? Come on, can I be real with you? Are we living in the real world? Okay, let's get real with it. All right. My pastor died of a heart attack. There ain't nothing wrong with saying it. That's the reality. You understand? And so somewhere, I went, whoa, glory. I told my wife, can't tell my wife too much because she just give me. Yeah, but I said, okay, Lord. But then I thought to myself, listen, he's before my next breath. Daniel 5:23, I believe, Daniel told Belteshazzar, he says, and the God who holds your breath in his hand. The God who holds your breath in his hand. I said, look, my breath is in a good place. Hey, if it's time for my breath to stop, then so be it. I just gotta take care of everything. I just need to be responsible for everything I know to be responsible before and leave the rest to him. So as the prophet said, I see you, girl. I see you, old gray hair. You're going to be an old man. Amen. So don't get it wrong. Just because I told you about some AFib. Don't be getting wrong. Oh, pastor might be leaving early. No, don't get it wrong. We all leaving one day, but don't get it wrong. Not today. Amen. We don't knock on no wood or do none of that foolishness. God knows. So we can trust him with everything, for he's made all things. He sustains all things, and all things find their destiny in him. All things. So please know that where you and I are headed, he already is. Remember the three Hebrew boys. When they fell down in the fire with their coats and the turbans on. Come on. They had their gloves on. They had everything. And they fell down, stood up in the fire. And the king said, did not we throw three in? Behold, I see four. And the fire has no hurt, no harm on them. Why did that happen? Why did they survive falling down in it when the seven men who threw them in were destroyed? Because before they ever got to the fire, he was standing in the fire. He went before them and was standing so that the fire had no harm on them. You see what I'm saying? He's there. Everything that a Christian goes through, I don't care what it is. Like I said, I believe when John the Baptist, when Jesus said, when John sent word from prison, he says, are you the one that we look for another? John was getting shaky. Come on, man, you my cousin. Are you the one? And Jesus said, tell him, you know, the gospel being preached and so forth, the dead are being raised over, and blessed is he who is not offended in me. And the day came, you know, when Herodias danced and everything, and Herod gave the command, and they chopped his head off. I believe God was right there. He was right there. Right there. When Paul was consenting to Stephen's death, Stephen said, behold, I see heaven open and the Son of God standing at the right hand of God. I believe every time a Christian leaves, they don't leave here without the presence of God right there. Why? Because before you ever experience anything, he's there. He's gone before you. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we worship you. Father, we magnify you. Father, we thank you that according to your word, you have gone before us, and that nothing comes upon us, O God. Lord, nothing comes to us, O Lord, but that you have not gone before, Lord, and allowed. So we trust our lives in the hands of a faithful creator. We thank you, O God, that you are our God and that according to your word, we can trust you because you are before us. All things and all things consist in you. Father, I pray, Lord, that our vision and our perspective would be filled with the Son of God, with the purpose of God, with the plan of God. And Lord, that we would trust you at all times according to your word. And your praise shall continually be in our mouth. So let our experience be that we might proclaim your goodness and your faithfulness to this generation and to the generation to come. And Lord, that every day of our lives would be a day of blessing and a day, Father, of testifying to the goodness of God. We ask your blessing, Lord, upon our families, upon this week that you've given us, Father, that we would rejoice in all things, Lord, until we come together to meet again. And we ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And all God's people said amen, 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 and amen. God bless you real good.